Welcome to another session of the Gagas of Iandam, the House Gagas of Iandam. And we have Allison and Deb. And
hello.
And me,
hello.
Sheila.
Hello.
And we just listened to the payday of August 30th and the segment of about angels. And it started off with Bert asking the question, do we share our angels? So, what do you guys think? Or what do you guys know? What was the thing that struck you the most out of all that?
There was so much.
Yeah.
What's the definition of share? You know, because he did ask, do they respond individually? Do we all speak to the same ones?
That's funny, I didn't even hear that.
I thought that's what I heard, but, you know, I was listening through the phone.
Well, the great example of what we hear as an individual, and you can even re-listen and hear something different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over and over and over and over. It makes cycles look normal. So what did you say, Deb? What is the definition of sharing?
Yeah, I mean, what context? I mean, like, how would you share angels? What would that look like? I don't know. Is it just because we might each address some of the same ones? Or is it their activity or...
Well, I always thought that we share angels except for, I don't know if it's such a thing still, a guardian angel, the one that's with you all the time, that takes you to the guff. But, I mean, as you develop, as you're ascending, I'm going to put it that way, as you're ascending, you'd probably be requiring different things being done, different responses and different levels. I remember the show a long time ago, I can't remember which one it was, early on the radio, and Ian was on, and I asked, and it wasn't Cash Flow, it was somebody else. I asked Ian, could you name the angels that are around me now? And he spewed out a few angels, and he said, sometimes it's like Grand Central Station, you know, when you're painting, which makes it sound like there's different angels that appear for specific purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're just for me or they go to other places or...
What, with Bert, the way he phrased it, what I was thinking he meant was just kind of what they were pointing out. There's an Archangel Gabriel. There's an Archangel Michael. How do you not share them?
Right,
that's
those
again.
They're be shared. Yeah,
that's the definition again, though, Deb. You know, I think our definitions for some of our words are so inadequate
mm-hmm.
that I think it's very challenging for Ian to answer some of the questions we pose because there are so many angles
mm-hmm.
that it can come, they can answer from. That it's got to be really challenging. It's got to be hopefully better now since we're a little more expanded in our ascension, but it's like the word break when we're talking about, you know, how many different kinds of break are there? That can
mm-hmm.
mean so many different things. So sharing, what is, you could dissect it by that just using the word.
Well, I would think if you individually address an angel, then their response is going to be individual. And so there's as many responses, quote, actions that are unique and separate that, you know, so in that sense, it's not sharing.
That's
you know
beautiful.
What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that lands on me really perfectly.
Well, I'm saying,
and
though,
if, you know, there's a lot of us, there might be a lot of, you know, as many different angels as there are as many of us.
Well, it sounds like there's more. There's as many stars in the heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like they, there's more angels than human creators. But that's interesting what you said, Deb, because I haven't named, I haven't asked, like, you know, I'd often speak an angel. And I wouldn't ask a specific angel. I wouldn't say a name, or even now that I think about it, I might go back and listen to, you know, who those names were that Ian said.
Well, Gabriel and Michael.
No, I mean specifically to me.
Oh, I see.
Years
well,
ago.
There were some heirs. Did he give you angel names or names of heirs? Because I know in a rewrite we got some names of heirs each.
I think they were angels, because I asked for angels.
Do you mean Deb, H-E-I-R, heirs, or A-I-R?
I think it's A-Y... R-E-S, I don't know, I have to look, but there's it's in the, you know, chapter 23.
And so I was just curious.
This is not a valid menu option.
Yeah, it was that whole section of the heirs.
Which wouldn't make sense if nobody's been through it, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it's a different cast or group. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a difference between angels and archangels.
Yeah, you can look up, I think, the Book of Enoch. It might be where I found it. I had, there's a whole section about the angels. There's governors and this and that and the other, and they tell you what the heirs are and their roles. I mean, I don't know what you do with it. It just was kind of interesting. But, I don't know. When I speak to the angels, I just speak to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I say all of Ion, all of Cherubim and Seraphim. It depends on how bad it is. I'm like, oh, my God. All of you, listen to me now.
Attention.
So I thought it was hilarious when Evan said, so they must be kind of like Walmart.
Yeah.
I was like, worse than Walmart.
That was the hilarious part. It's worse than Walmart because they can say, fuck you. Lucifer the devil, I'm looking at my notes. Lucifer the devil is an angel. And we all know that.
Yeah.
I have to interject quickly. I still remember when my friend Terry, who may listen to this, was so excited when she called me one night and said, I figured it out. Bob is Lucifer.
I remember that.
She was so excited. And she called him in jubilation. And he we actually talked about it when we were all in Canada for the Michael Blake Reed funeral. And he was like, that was such bullshit.
Isn't Lucifer, is he called the dark soul? Because Ion calls Bob the dark soul.
No.
Yeah, Bob will call himself that in jest sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't think Lucifer and the dark soul are the same. Because he's an angel. Lucifer is an angel.
Well,
you know,
speaking
to angels, you know, it's such a powerful part of Revelations that I don't think, I mean, I think it's a whole different level when someone engages in that and then gets into angel speak to, you know, try to do it and get some results, I suppose. I mean, I think we did in the past, but there's just, I guess, more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't the difference because, I mean, we have to look at the little man God connection.
Mm-hmm.
And they're speaking to the angels and having the angels fuck with you and having the angels do what you want them to. And then there's being a God and not needing the angels. There are so many facets.
Well, and I mean, I guess they fuck with you if you have your ego in the way and you have your little man thinking and speaking to the angels. But if somebody's really in their place of power, I'm just, this is my interpretation. And I would think their heart is pure and their intentions are clear, and therefore the results would not be messing with you or screwing you up. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if it has anything to do with a pure heart.
We were all going to jump all over you there, Deb.
Well, I guess what I meant is if you're in alignment with, you know, if you're in that total God-man alignment, that's what I meant.
Try again. No.
Well, I have to go now, so nice to you. I'm going to my little girl state.
Is that the fuck you moment? No. No, but that is such a good question, because they don't seem to have a place when we are ascended. So what the fuck?
Well, they have a place.
Why are we talking about it?
Well, because we're still using them.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But, I mean, when we're ascended, we don't use them, correct? Maybe I'm off on that.
You know, I don't know. You still might use them to get stuff done. Why don't you?
Maybe it's just like a seamless connection, you know. Maybe they're just part of what lines up. For the results you're trying to get, and you don't have to do all the speaking. It just is.
Because you know where the angles are now to do anything you want to. You move freely. You create, you know, instantaneously because you know what angle to coordinate. And therefore, maybe the angels become angles. They're all to your... Nah, that actually isn't right. When I said that, I can picture the coordinates.
Like
you got to go?
Wordplay. No. I said that sounded like a good wordplay, angels and angles.
Well, we've talked about
kingdom,
that before.
Yeah, I mean, if we have a kingdom, we need people to milk the cows, right? And do stuff and carry the wood and light the fire and rub your back. And I mean, if they're there as our butlers, then, you know.
Well, that came up. The corporate, what was it? The corporate hierarchy was brought up. The directors, and they listened to ascended man.
Yeah. So I got the directors were the archangel. Is that what the reference was?
Yes. That's what I got. Did you get that, Deb?
Yeah, I think there's different, you know, roles that angels have, and there are archangels, and there's cherubim and seraphim. And
I have a throw in right here for a quick minute. I don't know if you guys are watching Dominion.
No.
Mm-mm.
Nice. It's fun. I hooked Dave on it even, and it is really kind of, Ed put it up on his site. I'd never heard of it, but he put it up on the Ion on Bob Blogspot site around this topic, and I can't remember. I think it's a sci-fi channel production. It's awesome.
It's about angels.
Michael and Gabriel are feuding. They have the land they're living in is Vega, but it's Las Vegas. It's fucking hysterical.
Oh my gosh.
There's a chosen one who's a human and didn't know it, and now they're all after him, and Gabriel's the bad guy, and Michael decided that he wanted to save humanity, and he and Gabriel are pitted against each other, but they're still, you know, brotherly archangels, so the minute they do one thing that's really detrimental to the other, they'll kind of fix it kind of feeling. It just looks like a big freaking game. Our holographic game.
I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay. Okay.
Stay on angels for a minute.
Let's stay on angels. Okay. We can segue later.
Because they're, you know, I mean, they're nothing like you think they are when you're a little man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're scary, big things that do a lot of nasty shit.
Which is what I love about the show, Sheila, by the way. They show that.
I don't know. I always thought they had pretty white wings and white gowns and halos, and they were all pure and beautiful.
You still think
that? Working for you.
Did I burst your bubble?
No, you didn't burst it.
Watch the show, Jeff.
I don't think there is any correct image, though. I think it's probably a lot perspective, don't you?
No, they have a definite image, some of them anyway.
Well, you as a painter.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you've been looking at them for a long time.
Well, I've been looking at them, how they've been depicted traditionally, but they're different than you think they are.
Can't you just meet an angel? I mean, haven't you ever met someone and you just knew something, you know, and you knew they were put in your path right then and there for a reason. They didn't seem to come from here. They just seemed like to appear kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they could be an angel in human form. I mean, isn't that how they went around going to bed with all these nymphs?
You mean Bob? Like Bob?
Our angel.
Yes, he's saving humanity.
Well, the angels on the show, it's great. They have black wings.
Okay.
Oh, that's
all
cool.
Of them. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Did you really hear Ion say, because I had to hear it like twice before I heard it, or even three times, that and I wrote it down, angels hate you worse than anything you could ever be, ever, 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 ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, yeah, because they can't ascend the way we do. Aren't they sort of in limbo?
Well, I don't know, but I mean that what he said because once you are God, you are over them. So
okay,
they don't need you.
Yeah, they don't need
they
you.
They don't want to be ruled.
I mean,
by
you don't
us.
Need
wanna,
them. Yeah,
but I get that too, Deb. It felt like they're like vampires. They can't. They're stuck instead of feeling free. They have this. After Ion talks about them, I hear this kind of uncomfortable, collapsed place where they. Once we take our power back, they have none, and so they're basically dust in the wind. You know, it's like they had their time. And in the dimension that we've entered, or the world that we've entered, it's going to be a difficult ride for them. They won't have any place. So I don't even know if they'll make it here.
I don't know. You think they won't have any place? I don't know that. I don't know. They already lost their job of taking people to the Guff. Now the Guff is
you want to order them around, don't you?
I thought in chapter 23 it was discussed about how angels became, you know, angels, but I haven't listened to that part in a while.
No, I don't remember. That's very possible.
Are they more in the servant mode? What are we talking about?
The words that you speak to the angels are so important because they don't hear qualifiers, I don't think, or, you know, and it's literal. So how you speak to an angel is what the word you say is the result you'll get.
Well, that's why.
So that's the big part of, you know, learning to speak to them is really knowing, you know, listening.
Yeah, and if you're speaking an angel, then you're not really conscious of the words coming out of your mouth.
Right.
I mean, I don't know exactly what I'm saying.
But, you know, if you state an intention before you do that or say it out loud, you know, and then you use your angel language, well, that does cut through all the mind. But the important thing is not to have any mind in it.
Yeah.
But isn't that the point that I mean, maybe I what I heard Ion say was that ascended man, they don't listen, they don't talk to them. They have to bow to us. So what you're saying,
no,
Sheila, is maybe they're bringing us the Cuba Libra, you know, or the drink. They're just basically there to serve.
Yeah, that's what Bob always
right.
says, that they're butlers. They're the butlers.
Yeah.
And I
mm-hmm.
because once you are God, you are over them. Doesn't mean that you don't use them, that you're over them. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you just don't put all your power in them. You just have a knowing that they will do what you want,
oh, yeah.
and you're not struggling in your mind. Well, can I make it happen? Will it happen? Am I
maybe,
okay?
Deb? Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe?
Is that what I said? Oh, that was
yeah.
not me. That's the other Deb.
That's great.
And have you guys ever been fucked over by angels?
What do you mean by fucked over, Sheila? Do you mean fucked or fucked over?
No, I mean fucked with. No, I mean completely like completely fucked with.
Have you? It sounds like you might have an answer
oh, yeah.
to this question.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've had things show up not the way I thought I was instructing them to do, but it went back to, you know, what I was doing or saying or...
Oh, no, I don't mean since I am. This is like when I lived in Ireland and, you know,
oh.
I was into all different things on my path to becoming, you know, ascended.
Would you like
whatever
to give us an example?
Well, yeah, because one of the many things along the way is I had angel cards. And like tarot cards only with angels. Because I had a friend that was really into the angels, and, you know, so you'd get a daily message from your angel card or whatever. But, and I found whenever, and of course there are all these, you know, really idyllic, beautiful images on the cards and all this stuff. And I found whenever I was really distraught and wanted an answer, or, you know, I was really in a pleading mode and a really less than mode, I would get fucked over so badly. They would taunt me. I was being taunted. That's what it was like.
Well,
I'm
that goes
kidding.
With the... No, that is totally in keeping with what we've been learning through Ion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, until one day it was so bad, I just threw them against the wall, and I never picked them up again. I said, fuck
well,
you.
How are they messing with you? What were they doing?
They would give me a message, and then it would be a different message the next time or the next minute, and then it was like, you know, it totally inconsistent, and then there were cards that were, I mean, with the whatever way I was asking or pleading, it was like insulting, or, and then it was almost like I could feel them laughing at me.
Oh, now we know that's true. You know, now we
yeah.
know that's exactly, you're
yep.
substantiating what we know to be accurate. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Poor little less than girl. Let's have a good time. Seriously. But, you know, they put me in my power at whatever level that was for me to say, fuck
right.
you, and throw, you know, that's like, that's it. You're not messing
yeah,
with
it
exactly.
Sounds like I'm not relying on you anymore, so go away.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out myself.
Yeah, I've
well,
allowed this long enough.
That's kind
yes.
of interesting because I had some tarot cards and I used to like to read them in the morning, and there was this deck that I just quit working with because I was like, I don't like all these negative messages. I'm getting things upside down. And you know.
Yeah, I think it's when you get to a point of not having it, putting any, imbuing them with any power maybe. You know,
well, yeah, because, you know, at some point I just wanted some answers because I was struggling with some things. And so, of course, you know, I was all jumbled up and messed up about it. And I was just looking anywhere and everywhere to, when, like, I do them and say, oh, this is my answer for today. But I would usually gain some perspective I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, so they can be useful that way, but I think I've been leery of them ever since.
Yeah.
Well, it's basically saying something outside of me is going to be able to tell me what's okay.
Exactly. I wanted reinsurance from these, you know, things that were
which
not
is
so...
why maybe the angels could mess with you, because if you're not in your place of power and you're continually dependent on the angels, that,
mm-hmm.
that must be a whole nother discussion. Because at some point, you're not speaking to the angels about what you used to, because you already know. It's manifested. It's here, you know, which already is, and you just seem, you know, you align up with that knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and in the meantime, well, no, but I mean, I think that's true. And then in the meantime, we're all looking at, I feel like we're on this precipice or this wall going, tipping one direction or the other. I'm going to tip over. I know I'm the God. I'm not going to talk to them. And I'm back here going, oh, well, maybe they would like to, you know, I would like to ask what this is, or do I share this angel? Or, you know, you wouldn't even want to share an angel. You just want to, you know that they are doing your, whatever you ask. And it has nothing to do with the big questions. It's more, because there are no big questions anymore. When you're in your power, you're saying, again, bring me a drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, manifestation, all those words we've been taught to use are probably completely obsolete in the adventure we've now engaged.
Well, I did ask Diane once asked about the angels. I said, do they like to be thanked?
Mm.
And he said, you know, appreciation. Oh, gratitude is always appreciated. He said, you can, you know, gratitude is always
mm-hmm.
appreciated. So,
and I wonder, is that one of those comments like, you know, well, when Barbara asked, are we in another, not dimension, but world now?
Have we shifted into another world? Is what she asked.
Have we shifted into another world? And
mm-hmm.
they said, yes. And she said, well, gosh, I asked that before, and I thought you said no. And they said, well.
Oh, no, that was a hologram.
That was then. Oh, did I slip into that again?
Yeah, that's okay. No, that's interesting. Yeah. He said, yeah, we're in a hologram now, but we weren't before.
Yeah. Well, it was also
What's
another world, right, Deb?
I definitely feel like I've shifted to another world. I know I have. It's very obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel that way after coming back from vacation.
And I would agree. I concur.
We flew back on the supermoon, and it was outside our wing of our plane, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is big. Like, yeah, I don't know what world I'm going back to, but it'll be good.
I felt the beginnings of my whole world shifting away from what was in early 2010. And then I came upon Ion in August of the same year. And it has just been I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, I could go on and all of this happened, that happened, but that's just, you know, it just was a huge shift.
Well,
mm-hmm.
going back to this hologram thing, when I heard that, to me, I had a feeling of that things were even more pliable than before.
That what's more pliable than before?
Things, reality, existence.
Mm-hmm. Mhm.
And I don't know how to describe that intellectually or put it into words, but it feels less solid, I guess, if it's a hologram.
Yeah, like before it was that 3D reality of, which, you know, is a cliche, but that 3D reality of we're stuck in this position and things are not malleable
mm-hmm.
when they will be in the fifth dimension. That was the old New Age jargon, you know. It was always, oh, there's going to be a shift, and you're going to notice, and you're going to feel it, and but nobody could define what that would look like. It was like, well, are the people that I know going to be here still? I love the way Ian has laid this out, like when he was talking to Barbara, and it's kind of like the people in the plane who, was it the, I can't remember what incident it was, but they're in Australia in another reality, and they're trying to find what, they don't know why they can't go home, but they're working on the AIDS project.
Yeah.
And what I heard Ion saying over and over was, they're working. They're working. They have a working, and they are there to work. And Bob was like, well, do they know about Iandom and the whole drops and all that? And they're like, no. But they are working on perfecting the cells, but they think they're working on this AIDS project. I thought, wow, that must be amazing to be a whole group of geniuses, as they call them, to move into another dimension, paradigm, space, not really knowing how you got there, but you have a job to do. Maybe that relates to what?
Yeah, no, I wonder if they know that they're in a different place.
Well, the implication was they do. They know they are, because they can't figure out why they can't get home. But there's so many things that look the same. It's very fringe-like, I think, in some ways, if we had to get a visual or get an example of it. But I'm not sure we can. I love the way that so much of what we're getting into is not measurable anymore. You don't have a reference point anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say it's like this. There is no more like this. Maybe that's the hologram. We're introducing things now that don't have a past the way we always...
Well, that's what Bob was explaining. He said that, you don't connect anything to what you said a minute ago to what we're saying now, but
mm-hmm.
that's the benefit of living in a holographic world, is that the, mm-hmm. How fast the past shows up, and when you step into a parallel world again, that's a rapidity that you live at.
That's very disconcerting for the average bear, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, even for me, I'm like, oh, I can't connect anything I said a few minutes ago to what I'm doing now or what's happening. Or I don't really want
well,
to
Well, you
don't,
you see it everywhere. I mean, how many times are you talking to somebody and they're like, what was I saying? Or what was I doing? Or I can't remember yesterday. It seems to be common language these days.
It is.
I always sort of link that to the internet, because you don't have to retain. It's all right there. You can just look it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told my sister, she was talking about, today I talked to her and she said, yeah, I met this girl 9 years ago and she totally remembered it and I had no memory of meeting her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, maybe you could tell her that you're practicing living in the present and you've wiped your hard drive clean. And it's not personal. It's just anybody you met three minutes ago is in the cloud.
I mean, if you get rid of time, how are you going to have a lot of memory?
What's the point? Isn't that
exactly.
Bob's M.O.? Bob's M.O. is, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then he remembers like a freaking encyclopedia. That's a dichotomy
exactly.
Right there.
Yeah, he's a walking Google God.
I know.
You can just ask him a question, and he can come up with all 20 results or 120,000 results.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, that's no surprise that Ion was his either creation or came through because of him,
mm-hmm.
Or to serve him or to engage him or whatever you want to say. I mean, it's way more complicated than that, I'm sure. Not complicated,
well, we
let's
were
say.
All, those of us, really immersed in this, we were all asking for this. Whole planet, I guess.
Yeah.
Type of change.
Do you think of, when you think of a hologram, do you think of multifaceted? What does a hologram mean to you?
I've seen one, and it's like you're looking at, you know, looking into, you see real life. So it's 3D, and you can walk around one and see, you know, every angle. I remember the first one I saw was at the Rock and Roll McDonald's in Chicago, and it's a couple doing the one of the 50s dances, and you could walk all the way around. It was like a real live couple. I mean, it was not like watching a film or any or a movie. It's like they really were there. So,
but they were there, but they weren't there.
Yeah,
they're not. It's not really there.
Mm. Right.
You're seeing something that. I mean, I think of some of the sci-fi films where the communication is a hologram. So somebody's in a room and they press a button and the person they're talking to appears before them, but they're actually somewhere else speaking.
Oh, like Star Trek.
Yeah, yet they're there as a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, I have to interject. You're going to crack up. Of course, I'm on the computer. I look up hologram. It goes to the wiki holography. It says holography is a technique which enables three-dimensional images, holograms, to be made. It involves the use of a laser, interference, diffraction, light intensity, recording, and suitable illumination of the recording. The image changes as the position and orientation of the viewing system changes in exactly the same way as if the object were still present, thus making the image appear three-dimensional. The holographic recording itself is not an image. It consists of an apparently random structure of either varying intensity, density, or profile. But so I scroll down. I'm going to make you guys go to the same page. So I scroll down, and they have a photo. It says, overview and history. This is on Wiki, of course, that I know Ion is completely responsible for now. And it says, in the overview and history, there's an image on the side that says, horizontal symmetric text. By Dieter Jung, J-U-N-G. It says Bob.
No, my God.
I'm not kidding you. You have to look at it. I'm a little floored.
Oh,
okay, this
God.
Is on the wiki page?
Yep. I'll send you the links if we need to, but it's wiki holography. I put in holographic, I thought. But
yeah, I'm on that page, and it's a picture.
And now scroll down.
Right?
You see the little mice? Yep, scroll down.
Mice, yes, uh-huh.
Overview
okay.
and history?
Mm-hmm.
What's the image you see on the right? And if you don't see the same one...
Horizontal symmetric text. Oh, I see. You have to look in the... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I see it. That's just hysterical.
I'm going to click on it. Oh,
it
my
like
God.
It's not related to any other word. They're all... I don't know what kind of words, maybe like angels
it's
speak.
German.
I don't know. They're big
it's German.
Bob.
No, it's German. I can see it's.
Yep, it is.
That's
hilarious.
Outrageous. That is so funny.
And the word and the word above it almost looks like, well, it could be dog, but it could be Dobbs.
Yes, it looks Dobbs. Like Dobbs.
It does, yeah. It clearly. Looks like B O B to me. Oh, the word above that.
Wow.
It could be dog.
That's
it could
too
be
funny.
Some funny.
Is that hilarious?
Yes.
Peter Jung.
We'll have to post this on Dupes.
I'm sure it'll be
yikes.
Posted.
What?
I'm sure it will get posted. So who is Dieter Jung? Dieter Jung is an artist. How interesting. God willed him. He's still alive.
Interesting background. 1967 German National Merit Foundation Award. Oh, look, he's from... Is he from Paris? No.
I was born in bed. Wildungen.
He studied theology in Berlin.
Interesting. This is his part of Roxana's injection.
Mm-hmm. He worked in MIT. One of the pioneers of holographic art. Paris, yeah, 2008 for exhibition when I was in Paris in 2008.
Anyway, that was a segue. Not. But it was too notable to see that image of Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Oh, my goodness.
But a holographic universe, what does that really mean? I used to think it meant that we were living in something that was based on fractals, you know, and that it's all angles and fractals and none of it is tangible other than the density that we give it with our limited perspective. Or maybe it's a broader perspective because we know how to make density. You know, we know how to make a lamp. We know how to make a table. We know what molecules to put together to make something dense so that we can use it and experience it. But if everything's a hologram, I feel like I could put my finger, you know, my fist through everything.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess we could all along, but now it just... No, we really can if we... I don't want to say believe. I don't know what word to use there.
Entertain it, maybe? Entertain it or engage it? Yeah, living with a physicist is kind of fun.
Have you asked him what a holographic universe would look like in his opinion?
I will do that tonight over dinner. I have not asked that. We had an interesting perspective on Sunday when we had that little bit of a private call. Do you remember when Ian talked about Vions?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Vions, I thought Bob said it's with a V.
No, it's with a V,
victory.
Isn't it?
What?
I thought he said it was a B like boy.
If you listen again, he says a V, like, and I don't know what the likeness was, but it was a V. I took it like vittles. Like, and I remember looking it up, and there was nothing that was a Vion. But then when we had the conversation on Sunday, Vion Food Group. This is interesting. Vion. Anyway. I looked at Bion because I thought I was convinced by the other people I was talking to that that's actually what, as you said, that Bob iterated it was Bion. Well, it led us down a rabbit hole that was just sensational. And it went into Wilhelm Reich and all these really cool places. And it led into solitons. And if you look up solitons, this is kind of cool, actually. I marvel at how Ion must have to dial back their all-knowingness to engage with us.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it.
Did you find a link that said that Bions are smaller than cells and simply appear as if by magic from nothing? Because that's what I found, and I found it earlier today and saved the link for some reason. I guess I knew that we would have this discussion. But, yeah, the William Reich, it says, discovered the unique aspect of the ether or A-E-T-H-E-R called Orgon Energy.
Yeah, do you notice that? Orgon?
Yeah, and then if you scroll down, it says, okay, so bions are smaller than cells and simply appear as if by magic from nothing. They are fully animated and combined to form clusters. Almost no medical researchers will go near this. Actually, no one will, except for a few true seekers. And so they talk about how he dove down this rabbit hole, and he was a botanist and a microscopist, and he published a paper. This was from 1773. No, Robert Brown published this paper to 1858 on active molecules, in which he described the pulsation seen in particles emerging from bursting pollen grains in water, their apparent spontaneous movement, and their tendency to form groups that themselves move spontaneously. So it just kind of went on and on with all these little
parallels.
I thought I heard B-I-O-N-S.
It's amazing how far you can get down this rabbit hole. You guys, mm-hmm. I wanted to call you before we had the conversation, because now I just looked up bion instead of bions, and it's a person. Wilfred Bion was an influential British psychoanalyst who became president of the British Psychoanalyst Society. And the stuff that he's into is just outrageous. But barring that, and it's all there's a lot of Freud reference. Mm-hmm. An interesting backward motion to the Freud stuff. But the bions thing, when I went to, as I said, I went, it led to solitons. Do you see that, Deb?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, let me see if I can see the link. Oh, my God. Every time I go on and look at something new, I sneeze. Ion has put something different in front of my face. I'm serious. I go and I look and I look up the wiki, and it's like, you know, it's the, we just discussed this. I know exactly what you're looking at. We talked about it on Sunday with another group of people, and mm-hmm. I can't find it at all. None of it's coming up. It's a completely different thing. So, but there were solitons. I remember this. They were related to this conversation with bions, and it goes, here's a soliton on the wiki. In mathematics and physics, a soliton is a self-reinforcing solitary wave, a wave packet or pulse, that maintains its shape while it travels at constant speed. Solitons are caused by a cancellation of nonlinear and dispersive effects in the medium. The term dispersive effects refers to a property of certain systems where the speed of the waves varies according to frequency. Solitons arise as the solutions of a widespread class of weakly nonlinear dispersive partial differential equations describing physical systems. The soliton phenomenon was first described in 1834 by John Scott Russell, who observed a solitary wave in the Union Canal in Scotland. He reproduced the phenomenon in a wave tank and named it the wave of translation. Now, I looked this up on Sunday. None of this. I'd never seen any of this. This is a whole new explanation for soliton. And in the same vein, I had said to the people I was talking to on Sunday, soliton is the date my husband's choice. Since you brought up, did I ask him about, you know, holograms mm-hmm. and holographic things? That is his password for his computer, soliton.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Does he know you told the whole wide world?
Yeah, I know.
He
get into David blah, 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 blah's computer and you can get in there. No, it doesn't matter. It's so silly. It's just like everything we've heard leads up to this day kind of feeling. You know, it's mm-hmm. like every day now has a plethora. This must be Bob-like. When he talks to Ion on the off days, mm-hmm. when he and Carolyn have those engagements, and, you know, we mm-hmm. were graced to hear some of those on that August 30th mm-hmm. Thing, they must just be, like, orgasmic when they hear what he has to, what they have to say and what they know to be going on. I think Bob dials down immensely, just like Ian does, to engage with us.
Well, yeah,
probably
so much more than he can let on.
it's overdrive, isn't it? In a way, it's like so exciting and so fun and so big now. I love how we all kind of knew that it was so big before, and now when you're actually, we stepped over some fence or something, and it's so much bigger than I thought it was going to be, or attainably bigger. You can actually engage how big it is instead of thinking it's big.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not a thinking man's game, you know. Engage it and let it go.
Well, yeah, because it's endless and it's ever evolving and unfolding.
Yep. And the waves, it's a soliton, I think there's a soliton wave. I love that because a lot of what they're discussing is the waves.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you really relate to that, you know? Unless you're a physicist and you kind of look at that.
You're talking about relating to it in terms of a hologram?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about how you're describing the physicality of a hologram?
Kind of. Oh, I just found another one that says Aether Force, A-E-T-H-E-R.
That's the one I was on.
Oh, it is? I think that looks like kind of a new agey without putting a label on it, but
it was a book that was written. I think it's about a book that was written.
It's also somebody's interpretation, and they mention rabbit hole, so it sounds like they get it.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book about the history of bion suppression called Artificers of Fraud. What's an artificer? Whoa. Resident artist, please. Artificers.
Sorry, is that like Sultan of Swing?
Wow. And guess what else it says? Wilhelm Reich, Bions and Live Blood Analysis.
Oh, my God.
Not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 3-minute YouTube on that. We can watch, you know, when we're not online here. But yikes. Ooh. All the pieces are seeming to match up.
Piece together.
Mm-hmm. I think Carolina Bob already has us gone for eons.
One thing about the hologram that I didn't think about is that you talked about it as being a recording. So there's this thing from the past, so-called past, that can be played now that looks like it's real.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Well, Dave Worster talked about that way back in 2010, I believe. And it was on a tailgate. And I have the CD in my car where he talks about going back into the past and, you know, literally visualizing being there and changing it for the now, something to that effect. It was pretty interesting.
Hmm. That's a great observation, isn't it, that the hologram, as you said, is living the opportunity for everything to exist in one space.
Mm-hmm.
This is so mind-boggling.
Yes.
Get out of the mind. But it is that, Ion, I love the way Ion has been just doling this out to us and is like, you know, the jokes they make about, well, then it's in your future now, from your future past, from your whatever. And they laugh.
He did a big thing
like,
on that. Yeah, he did a big thing on that with Barbara.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, oh, he just went on and on.
And I see why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they're laughing with us, more at us, but laughing with us, saying, do you guys get it?
Do you hear the words that are coming out of your mouth? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even without the words, I think they're, I feel like we are in such a fun group of beings. I'm not sure what to say on that level, who have made it here and are just having the fun ride.
Yeah.
We're just having the joy ride. Nobody's, you notice how nobody is like overthinking things to their detriment where they're upset
mm-hmm.
about it. It's more like, oh, wow. You know,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean? Not in an angry way of, oh, damn it. I can't understand this. And
I bet there's people overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't make a blanket statement like that.
Very good. Make sure you get Ginny. Very good. Was there more about
no,
the hologram of Barbara?
I liked one of Barbara's questions. I don't know if it was his last payday. She says, well, so, Ion, where do we go from here?
That was so great.
I know.
What do you think, Sheila?
Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm. Or you wouldn't ask that, I have the feeling.
No, because I would just hear Ion say, well, where is here? If you don't know where you,
right.
you know, if you know where you are, then you decide where you want to go or don't go or. You know,
yeah,
I don't know. What do you think?
I was just going to say, I find that often when I internally or, you know, I ask a question and Ion answers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other type of existence, isn't it? That's
mm-hmm.
something I don't think we talk about much on payday.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, then,
it is the new reality.
Then didn't Evan ask, what's this all about? What are we here for? What is this existence? I was struck by the question. I don't even remember the answer, or if it even was answered.
Well, you just said it, Deb.
Huh?
Where do we go from here, is what she said.
Yeah, I don't remember the answer. He just laughed.
Yeah.
You're perfect.
I think Bob laughed first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of
well,
funny
I mean,
how Bob's international right now. I was going to segue into the international side of the payday that's come up. But if you want to say something more on what we were just talking about.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Just the whole international side of it.
The side of Iondom, you mean, or?
Yeah, kind of, with Roxana
mm-hmm.
contributing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Rewrite group had games in Australia, and I think there were, yeah, somebody was, can't remember, somebody else was somewhere else.
Well, there were a couple of Canadians.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to the Russian kind of, you know, side of things with Croatia. Josip?
Oh, I don't think he'd appreciate you saying he's Russian.
I know. Thank you very much,
Sheila. It's not even related.
Slavic.
Well, Croatian, yeah.
Yeah. Who did I know who was Croatian? And they were like, there was another name before they were Croatian. I can't remember what it was now. Anyway, yet that kind of quadrant
mm-hmm.
of the world. And I love Ion just loving Josip.
Mm-hmm.
We love him.
And Bert.
Mm-hmm.
Bert's in the Switzerland, yeah. Well, I mean, I was in Paris for the first number of months before I came back here.
Yeah, hey, you're the first emissary. You're the first emissary, in a way. You sound a little fuzzy,
there.
By the way.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, on my end. But I hear Bob say that, and then I can hear whoever's talking clearly, so maybe it's just me.
What is it? She says I sound fuzzy.
I said she sounded fuzzy to my ear.
Fuzzy, you said? Fuzzy as opposed to Ruth Fuzzy.
Well, or as am I sounding fuzzy to Dub? That's why I was laughing.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, she sounded a little fuzzy, and I didn't want to miss one word she has to say. So.
Oh, yes, yes. It's also vital.
It is. It is. I have paintings on my wall from you that I feel very moved by.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I do have a couple.
Yeah, the one with the formula, and I look at it and go, what does that mean? I pass it every day.
Which one is that?
Is it the Thunders? What's the actual name
of
that?
No, it's After the Thunders. Yeah, After the Thunders.
After the Thunders.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Sheila knows what it all the picks dub, but she's sworn to secrecy.
I couldn't tell you if I knew. I wouldn't know how to say.
So it's a mystery. The mystery text.
I don't know. Not that mysterious. It's the formula that I am going to sit over and over and over and over and over again and rewrite.
Right.
Did anybody ever say what it meant?
It was the environment after the Thunders. It described the environment, and apparently it could only come into being after I painted it, or because I painted it came into being. Or is that the same one? Ian said, "You don't doubt the sincerity of the Mona Lisa." So when it's painted, there's no. I don't remember. Anyway, to the effect that it was more powerful than, you know, the word, the written word, the painting of it.
Cool.
So Ion told you to put that there, or you decided to?
I just, whether he did or not, I don't know, not that I recall, but I just saw that as a creation.
So not in a private session or anything?
No.
They go,
no.
Yeah.
Not like the Labyrinth painting where it was all spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it, but most of it.
So you were just painting and the formula came out of your fingers?
No, I knew the formula.
Okay.
I saw it as the moon and the reflection being the different environment with the sun and whatever that silver, gold, and the colors and the formula.
Oh, you translated the formula into your imagery or whatever imagery.
Yeah.
Got it. Regardless, it's very cool, and I love looking at it every day.
Yep. Good.
Yep. Love it.
I don't know if I can get a report back. Except when we were visiting Ginny and Greg, and you know the portrait I did of Savvy, Deb?
Yes.
The what? Yes, that's
portrait
great.
Portrait of her on the unicorn, and her dog, I guess this dog was originally Savvy's dog. What's his name? The old little hound?
Cody.
Cody, yeah. It's like they have the painting on an easel. And because Savvy is away at college, the dog, it lies underneath the painting.
Oh, wow.
And they showed me a photo on her iPhone. I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Remember when you when I picked up the Labyrinth painting for them from you a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I put it in my living room, now I never unveiled it till you told me to, but when I first put in the living room, Mittens went in there and laid in front of it with all four paws pointing at it. I tried to get a picture, but he moved. I think he was real interested when I uncovered it because, oh, my God, the labyrinth painting came in here and the labyrinth of my mind went into fast-forward overdrive. It was very interesting.
She's talking about the original painting, Allison.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Mittens, the cat she never wanted.
Right.
I remember that part, too. Yeah, and I remember I'm just stringing on here that Andrew, because I've been listening to old archives, that Andrew was telling in a beautifully drunken way to Madeline one night in March, and he's saying, "Cats know better, know more than we do," and Madeline's going, "I know, Andrew," and I'm thinking that could be me talking to Madeline, totally. So no slight on Andrew. But it was just so fun listening to the cats know better than we do kind of thing. I have a cat that I know is regal to the max. So, yeah, so Mittens with Dub, you just never thought you'd even have one, right?
No, and he's very ascended, by the way.
I know, they are. But they're your non-physical.
Yeah. It was interesting. I did take a picture of it the other day. I was going through a drawer and I pulled out two. One was a notepad and one was a composition book, and it was my notes on Genesis, and I'd been re-listening to Genesis, but I left them on the floor. And I look over and there's Mittens curled up on this notepad on the floor that's full of Genesis notes. Now, he's never done that. He's never gotten on top of books or papers or anything. It's kind of funny. He's gotten up on the table, like in the middle of the Bob Fest. He got up in the middle of my jigsaw puzzle I was working. He loved the Bob Fest. He followed me everywhere and listened.
Yeah, in my world, any cat I've ever had gets right in the middle of anything I'm doing. So I don't know what that means. You know,
they want to be an executive and help you run things, like your assistant.
Or I'm not in charge, and they're going, "You better fucking take your power. I'm going to sit in front of everything you're doing so you can get out." Because it was kind of annoying. It was funny.
Yeah.
In a sweet way. Can I segue just for a minute? Sheila, did you look at the Ether Force thing that Deb and I saw on the Bions?
No, I was away from the computer when you were talking about it.
I know you saw it, Deb. It says Bions, the unforgivable discovery. And I know there's a lot of shit in the world and, you know, whatever. It says Wilhelm Reich not only discovered the unique aspect of the ether called orgone energy, he also discovered the tiny living particles that were the very building blocks of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like I don't think Ion would have directed us into this arena if there wasn't some significance to. So it'll be a fun thing to bring up, I guess, on payday in the future.
Yeah.
The orgone sounds so much like argon.
Yeah.
I know it's not. But and I know there are people who talked about being way into orgon stuff. So it's not a unique, well, I shouldn't say that. It's not an unfamiliar scenario. But they have a photo on here online that says magnification 800 times, and it looks like the eye cell. There's
really?
Like eye cell.
Well, if you scroll
moment.
Down, it says that the Wilhelm Reich, you know, did the research on the origin of life and described motile particles similar to those that Brown observed and named them bions. He claimed he'd witnessed the transition from non-life to life. And he developed his experiments in great detail and published his findings, but no other scientist would even replicate his experience or test his findings. They ridiculed him and tried to get him run out of the country.
Kind of Tesla-esque. You know, even though we know
that book is how the workers, you know, their findings and how they overlap is what it says. But The possibilities for bion research are so immense as to render all of our medical technology obsolete. If the very building blocks of life can be isolated and controlled via vibration, electricity, magnetism, etc., then everything from regrowing limbs to healing wounds overnight will be possible. Reich was suppressed in one of the most violent and outward manners in all history. His books were burned, he was jailed and beaten to death in prison. Why? Was it just because of his investigations into etheric beings in the skies, or was it his work into bions that threatened the Rockefeller-controlled AMA? Some believe that the AMA was created specifically to suppress Reich's work. His work into Orgon was bad enough, but his rediscovery of bions was simply unforgivable. Well, that parallels with the drop technology, because it does threaten the entire medical technology.
Mm-hmm. I just think there's no accident. I love the way ion works. We're looking at vions, V-I-O-N-S.
And I definitely heard bion when I heard it.
Well,
and
did you look it up?
Again.
No,
I didn't look it up until this morning.
Isn't that funny?
And then I had said on that call Sunday night, maybe a bion is Bob and Ion.
I love that. I love that. Sheila, isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Bion and Bob. Bion.
Mm-hmm. You know, the...
Feather.
That are pretty interesting. Well, we should be able to create some really good questions for the next payday.
Yeah, or the next Gagas.
Yes.
Yeah. When is Ion back? Because that's not clear, is it? If there was like a maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It may be a couple of more weeks. I'm not sure. I guess whenever Bob's back.
Hey, you guys, just a quick ending here. And I don't know when they're coming back either. I think Bob mentioned being in Toronto or up north like that for a couple more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But here's underneath the thing we were just reading. There's a comment section, and it's Sashia Ishizu. So it's somebody Japanese, whether, you know, who knows where they live. It says, I'm glad someone is following this man's work. He, along with Tesla, had their discovery stolen from them. We need to make this right. Give the man props. If I can help, please contact me or my associate. We'd like to help if we can. I'm going to send them the RNA site.
Oh, what a great idea.
Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be great? You're going to be like, what?
How long ago was that posted?
That's a good point.
But which man does he want to help? I don't understand.
Which what?
Is he speaking of Brown and Reich? Who is he speaking of? Because they're dead.
That's a good point. I'm glad someone's following this man's work. I think he's just talking about the properties of bions and Tesla and, you know, or Reich and Tesla.
Well, he says give this man props. I don't know. Oh, maybe current. That just wasn't clear to me.
Well, are you working on a timeline? Yuck, yuck, yuck. I will send it. Should I send them to How Ionic or Iana Bob Blogspot?
What are you sending?
Contacting whoever sent that.
I would say How Ionic.
Okay, it was December 28th of 2013.
Oh, well, now you're forwarding this to the How Ionic site, or you're saying which site to give to them? I see.
I'm replying to them because they're interested in bions and Tesla, or Reich and Tesla. I just think it'd be funny if they encountered Ion.
Well, there's probably some recording with Ion and Bob about Tesla, and maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, they can find it if they're meant to find it. if it's
yeah.
Maybe just forward the drops link, because I don't know.
And then they can
don't
go down the
me.
Rabbit hole from there.
I'm just the blonde yeah. in the crowd.
No, I am too. She lives the sensible brunette.
Yeah.
Sensible, yes. I'm often described as sensible.
She's the grounded, gorgeous brunette.
Cute.
Well, this has been fun.
It has been
yes.
fun.
Thank you, God. A little looser.
I'm going to stop the recording.
Sure.
Until next time, adieu.
Yes, thanks, ladies.